This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, whoever builds a mosque for Allah, Allah will build for him a similar house in Jannah. And we know the great reward that will not only be gained, but rather will fill your grave after your death. Whenever someone prays there, whenever someone gives shahada in the masjid, whenever someone learns something in the masjid, yes, that will be something that you'll have on your scale.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? I'm joined with a wonderful man, a champion in his own right. A man. I'm not gonna do what we usually do. I'm joined with Zeeshan Ali.
Come on.
Yes.
Big dog.
See, I've done it. I didn't turn it around at all.
Alhamdulillah. I think the viewers have, you know, they're used to it now.
There's too much now. We've overdone it. We've overkilled it.
Definitely.
Today, what we're going to be talking about, and we thought about some interesting videos, and the objective of this video, actually, first and foremost, is to show or to give encouragement to people to continue doing the Palestinian activism. Now, months and months after the conflict, we're approaching effectively a year after the October the 7th now. If you think about it, like, okay, it was almost a year. Like,
wow.
Because we need to continue the good work. And so I thought to myself, let's give people credit today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what we decided to do is have a list of, you know, the five most influential or most impactful or most significant people outside of our own dawah sphere.
Yeah.
Okay, because we don't want to make this, you know, self-congratulating exercise. People who have contributed to the Palestine cause. You're going to give me your five, I'll give you my five. And people can decide and put in their comments who they think also has done a great job. Obviously, we're not going to include ourselves because we're number one. There's no doubt about that.
Number one position.
Yeah, that's right. We can't put ourselves in there. But let's give credit, actually. Let's start off by giving credit.
But you know why that's important? I think it's a good behavior to instill as well, because negative things and bad experiences will always happen.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, it doesn't get more worse than the Palestine issue.
Yeah,
In terms of the dunya.
Mm.
So, of course, when other things happen in your life, yes, you should, you know, mourn, and yes, you should be upset, and that should motivate change.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when good things happen, you should give it their due right and due attention as well. And if a person is skewed only to the negative side, it's
a good point.
Studies-wise, they say that you have a lower life expectancy as well.
Really?
People that are pessimistic.
Yeah, pessimistic, critical, repudiatory, all the time. Like, we do a lot of refutational videos. And I think it's only right from time to time also that we encourage people and praise people, because too much negativity is never good for anyone.
Yeah.
I think before we say that, okay, we said we're not going to include people in our own sphere of da'wah and so on in then the list, because that would just be kind of self-defeating or self-congratulating, really, isn't it? I think we should, before we give our respective lists, give credit to people in the dawah sphere. A lot of them have done excellent, excellent work. So, for example, Daniel Hakikashu has done excellent work, hasn't he, in the Palestine conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Omar Suleiman has done excellent work himself. He's come on the Lex Friedman show. He's always posting on Twitter. To be fair, also Yasser Qadhi has done excellent work. I've seen him be very vocal going to the campsites and stuff like that. And these guys are in our own sphere. We have people like Jake, metaphysician. He went on was one of the best, actually, performances, but it was more low radar. And he went on and done really good against this James Whale character. Abdullah Andalusi.
Yes.
Now, he is the backbone, really, of this conflict in terms of intellectual arguments in the dawah sphere.
Yeah.
I would say so. I mean, he teaches us a lot of the arguments and stuff like Abdullah Andalusi. He's seriously... He has encyclopedic knowledge on this, and he's always on online and stuff like that, so he's excellent.
I think what's important that a lot of people don't realize is social media is heavily skewed against pro-Palestinian activism, and a lot of these brothers, even with big channels, medium channels, even small channels and pages, they have been shadow banned, their content has been restricted.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's really put them in, you know, it's really got them to reflect about, you know what, this is, you know, for some people it's their livelihood, and a lot of people have sacrificed a lot. So even if you haven't made it onto the list, you know yourself why you've done it. And we're human beings and we're very limited, and we can, there's only so much that we've seen and that we can kind of communicate.
But yeah, we're gonna get it wrong, but it's just subjective. It's subjective, like, at the end of the day. So there's lots of people in the Dallas field. Musa Adnan, who was, we were working together on Critical Content News. I was extremely proud of him. He went on the James Whale show as well, done really well. Dili Hussein, he done very well, and he's continually doing great work. But these are guys, once again, we're all in a circle. We don't want to...
But yeah. I would... That's it's very interesting you mentioned that. Like, Critical Content News, it's a very small, puny...
Is that what-
so, you know, it's like a blog page or community page, but alhamdulillah,
S2J News.
You know what I mean? You know what? Now you've mentioned the champs.
S2J News.
Oh my God. But even like S2J News, bro, like, alhamdulillah, we're dealing with volunteers. You're dealing with volunteers as well.
We're not
dealing with people.
I want to give. I think it's only right now that I mention some of the volunteers, people in my organization who's done really great work, like Tariq. You know Tariq Kurd. He's absolutely excellent. Shakir, he was doing a lot of the research, bro, behind the scenes, and you know him. How intelligent and on the ball and sharp he has been. Fantastic, Shamir. Another newcomer, you've met him, really good work. Osman, you've met him, and he's done some things as well for Critical Content News, and a host of other people as well. Critical Content, I mentioned already Musa Adnan, Abu Bakr, the camera and graphics guy. From our perspective, great work. Do you want to mention any of your guys?
I think definitely Aisha has been very supportive. She's pretty much kept the page going.
Really?
Yeah, bro. Like, mashallah, really, really helpful since the beginning. Tanweer's been good. And of course, because it's volunteers, people have come and they've gone. But the contribution that they've given, even at the onset of the conflict that's going on, it's not even a conflict, the genocide, massacre. So, yeah, just... Alhamdulillah, no, anyone it's good and that you're everyone mentioning that's this. Volunteered.
That's right, because I don't think we give these people enough credit. Another person I should mention, and he's a great mentor of mine, and really, I know this guy, he's one of the best leaders, if not the best leader I've ever seen.
Big up Hamza.
You know what I'm going to say? It's Hamza. I always say it myself, Hamza's horses.
Yeah, mashallah.
He's engaged on the ground. He's actually, Sapiens Institute, which we're working with, he's allowed some of the funds to be used, because he's in charge of all the funds. He's the CEO of the organization, so... He's allowed some of the funds, a big chunk of it, to be used in creating books, courses.
You guys released a book, innit?
Three books, bro.
And it's free as well.
It's free. My one is called Double Standards, who I co-authored with a guy called Jody McIntyre, who's actually running for election now. Fantastic guy himself in his own right, and a brilliant, brilliant, kind-hearted, warm-hearted guy who deserves his credit in his own right. I'm going to miss somebody out in this. You know, we mentioned Five Pillars and all of our organizations. But before we mention outside, I think it is right to at least give all these people honorable mentions. Ali Dawa, you know, his channel has been used, and your channel, of course, have been used vociferously in the cause. So much so that they're targeting them. And so, you know, lots of people we can mention. But let's get our list.
Let's get the lists. Let's do this.
So I don't know, like, should we start with number five?
In no particular order.
In no particular order. Okay.
Okay, particular order.
Particular
order,
I think, would be more interesting.
Order. Okay.
Give me your five, top five.
All right, so number one for me in this would be, did you want to start
with? Start with five.
Okay, start with five. So starting with five, I'd probably say Hamzat Chimaev.
Really?
Yeah, because everyone's, like, there are a lot of sports stars that have stood up for Palestine and said what they've said, and it's all been appreciated. But Hamza Chimaev's speech was very unique. When I think he said it in Chechen, and he actually said what a lot of people were feeling.
Yeah, that's true.
And he said it with such zeal, and he said it on a stage that the guy has the potential of losing it all. The guy was like, if you know, it makes me want to pick up arms and go and join and help them.
Yeah, it's a dangerous thing to say for a man of his position.
And I'm paraphrasing, but
yeah.
And I heard he's already received some kind of backlash
from that. Yeah, he can't get to the United States. Maybe that's the reason why. Maybe it's other reasons. But the thing with Hamzat is, I think a lot of us saw the vicious side of him. Mm. Okay, and the, you know, the crazy side of him. You know, in the ring and in the press conference and stuff like that. But when we met him, we saw the humble side of him. We saw the human side of him, and I think we all saw the human side of him. When there was one time he was asked about the Palestine conflict, and he just said something like, "It hurts," and he was visibly emotional. And I think that made him like more respected in the eyes of so many people, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, more so than most of his fights, because we saw the compassionate side. And there's something beautiful and virtuous about a strong man with compassion.
You know? There is one thing that you're just fighting opponents in a ring.
Yeah.
That you're just fighting for the sake of fighting or fighting for fame and money. But when you're fighting, it's what made Muhammad Ali cross over that boundary and become one of the greats. It was because of his stance in Vietnam.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
And that's what made him. And Martin Luther King said, you know, you may disagree with him, but you've got to respect what he's standing for.
Absolutely right.
And Hamza Chimaev is definitely kind of demonstrated that, and we definitely saw it firsthand as well.
Yeah, because he's gone further than other sports, Muslim sports people in like what he wants to say. My number five is low key. He's not strictly speaking part of the Dawah sphere. He's obviously very close to us. Hamza's close to us. We both met him and done interviews with him as well. But, you know, low key, the reason why is because number one, his consistency.
Yes.
He has a very consistent record. Number two, his arguments are really watertight. He's one of the people that I actually take knowledge from in this area. Like, I would sit down and take notes from and stuff like that.
Yes.
Number three is because of his, you know, continuous output. His continuous output. And he puts himself in positions which could get many people in trouble. But because of these reasons, and he's done obviously a really excellent interview on Piers Morgan. We've had him here on this sofa. We've done a podcast with him, and he was, you know, giving us all the information.
He really tracks down the funding and where these people are getting their money from, and who's, you know, being funded by who. And
I'm surprised that he memorizes all of that stuff. It's almost, you know, like muhaddiths, like, you know, the hadith tradition where you've got chain of narration. He has a chain of narration, a genesis of where everyone's getting their money, what's the motivation. Because let's be honest, a lot of people are motivated by money, and this is the reason why on the pro-Israeli side people are where they are positioned, because they're being paid by somebody, and he's actually lifted the veil on that. Who's your number four?
Number four, I'd probably say Norman Finkelstein. Now, Norman Finkelstein, he's been old school in this.
Yes.
He's been there since I can remember. And his books are really thoroughly researched. He's a scholar to the highest eminence. And he just hasn't been appreciated. There was one clip, the Holocaust clip of his, that went viral.
Crocodile Tears.
Yeah, Crocodile Tears. There have been clips here and there, but that's been the... But the guy has so much to offer.
Yes, he
and
does.
It's only now that he's really kind of been appreciated, like in terms of academia.
Definitely
the guy would be at the top, but obviously we're talking about influence in different realms and different aspects and facets.
I was put as my number four Bassem Youssef. Reason, he's not strictly in that, obviously not in the Dawah sphere, and we have different opinions, or and people will be like, why are you mentioning this person, that person, the other person? We're not agreeing with all their stances.
Yes, of course.
Just to be, I mean, we have to mention this, but we have to be mature about this. We're talking about those who have had an impact.
Yes.
And his two interviews with Piers Morgan were the most watched ones.
Yes.
Okay. And they were not just only watched by people in the English-speaking sphere. They were also very much watched by people in the Arabic-speaking sphere. People must realize that his language, his first language, is Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
And so for someone whose English is a foreign language to them, that's actually extremely impressive. For him to be able to communicate in that way in the English language, which is not his first language.
And to then do it through the medium of comedy. Comedy means that you have a certain mastery of that language.
Because
you can only be funny in a language.
Yeah, you cannot be comedic and not rhetorical at the same time.
Yes.
So now he used this kind of, like, I would say, sarcastic style.
Yes.
To great effect the first time with Piers.
It was fantastic.
And he kept using that. And the thing is, what made me put him in this list is not just his two interviews with Piers Morgan, but also his subsequent interviews with so many different hostile interviewers. Recently had one with Trigonometry, who they told me to come in, but I knew that they had an issue and stuff like that. So I put some conditions. I said, let me film it as well at the same time. And they didn't respond to that because I didn't want anything to be cut up or anything like that. But he went on that show and what he done there was fantastic. He answered all their questions and he's been doing that consistently. And for example, PBD, he went on the PBD podcast and done fantastically. I was actually quite impressed with his argumentative ability because he's a comedian. A comedian doesn't necessarily have to have the ability to construct arguments in a coherent and consistent fashion. He seems to have a really good grasp of some of the historical aspects. He's now even delving into, I saw something recently with him and Mehdi Hassan, into some of the biblical aspects, the red heifer and all that kind of stuff. He's kind of spreading his tentacles and being consistent in that. So I think that he deserves to be on this list.
He's definitely I think he's my number three.
Okay.
And the reason being because now when he came, he completely took the whole issue by surprise. Like, people didn't expect somebody that's pro-Palestinian in a conversation in which it's only meant to go one way. Do you condemn Hamas? Do you acknowledge what happened on October 7th and this and that? The guy completely threw a curveball. Yeah. If you actually look at Piers Morgan's body language, and like it was something that I would say it broke the internet because of the amount of acceptance it got. Because a lot of people, when it comes to Muslims or anything related to Muslims, were seen as angry, were seen as, you know, violent, aggressive. But this guy completely broke the stereotype. Some people have even said that this guy has been an integral and important thorn in the backside of Israel that's stopped them from, you know, justifying and doing worse actions that they have.
No, I'm impressed. It was definitely a cultural moment, his interviews with Piers Morgan. They're a cultural moment. And frankly, probably a historical one as well, man, if we're being honest. If we go for number three, my number three is probably Abby Martin.
Uh-huh.
But she had a really good interview with Joe Rogan, okay? So Joe Rogan is seen as one of the top podcasts. And the way that she delivered, the thing is, as a woman, obviously she has more of a compassionate, you know, kind of approach to it.
Yes.
And she's able to, once again, relay information in a very methodical but also coherent fashion. And her recent discussion with Piers Morgan and the son of the Hamas leader, you know, that was brilliant as well, that she was able to finish him off in a very classy way. And we've done a reaction video to that. But it's also that she has a track record of supporting the cause.
Yes.
And that's always what's going to be the decider in these kinds of lists, for you to be in the top five. She has a track record of that. And so with all that kind of thing, I put her as number three, actually.
I'd probably say alongside her, or in the same breath, like Mehdi Hassan.
Do you know, honestly, I'm not putting him in the top five here because he's been a little bit more reserved this time. And and look, Mehdi Hassan is in my estimation anyway, he's probably one of the best public speakers in the United Kingdom. He's a world-class public speaker. That's how I consider it. I consider myself somewhat of a connoisseur for these things, as you know. Like, we talk about that. His rhetorical style, his ability to debate. He wrote a book on debating.
He did, yeah.
How not to lose any argument or something like that. And I've read some of the chapters on that book. Very interesting book. Not bad. Mehdi Hassan, his debate on the Islam thing in Oxford University. I thought
his Piers Morgan one was absolutely fantastic.
No, he's good. He is always going to bring forward world-class performances. You could
see it was like he transcended the interview format of Piers Morgan. He was like, oh, come on. But Piers Morgan was throwing things that would throw any other person off. But because Abi Martin, Mehdi Hassan, they're seasoned in this topic, they were able to rattle names off like it was nothing.
Yeah, and they know what's going on. They know exactly what game is being played. I mean, remember, Mehdi Hassan is usually the one who asks the question. He's usually the interrogator.
Yeah.
That's usually the format that he likes to debate in or discuss in and that he's most experienced in.
Yes.
And so to be put on the back foot, it's good for him because for us to know who's an all-rounded public speaker, they need to be versatile. We need to see them as interrogated, but also as the interrogator, but also the interrogated in the podium, on the street, whatever. So the fact that he was able to perform very well in that format showed that he's good on the back foot as he is on the front foot.
And so
Mehdi Hassan's always going to be, like, you know, we saw his debate in the, I think it was Oxford University on Islam. after I saw that debate and many of his other performances, I knew this guy's world class, actually. Mm. He is actually world class. The reason why I didn't put him in my top five is only because he seemed like, I'm watching him, some of his stuff on Twitter now, and he seems a little bit reluctant. And I don't know who is basically trying to, sorry to put this, but please. Mm. You know, this whole thing about overcompensating about anti-Semitism, and this is this person's an anti-Semite and stuff, is it detracts from the force of what we're trying to accomplish.
So I think his liberal sensibilities definitely have kind of been the anchor that's been pulling him down from showing his true potential.
Yeah, because if he lets those punches go,
yeah,
I mean, he could easily top the list.
Mm.
A person with his charisma and capabilities can top the list, but if he tries to appease the liberal,
credit where credit is due, yeah. I think he did have a slot on I think it was on MSNBC,
yeah.
And he had an interview with one of the Israeli officials, in which, I mean, there were clips going around in which he absolutely embarrassed the guy.
No, he does very well.
And people were of the opinion that straight after that interview, that's it. Like, his contract was not renewed,
mm-hmm.
came to an end, and he's had to start off his own media organization, Zateo.
So
I mean, there is definitely
there is a bit of that. He's taking punches as well for the cause. Who's number two for you?
For me, number two, it's difficult. It's a toss up between both of these. I'd probably say it's very difficult. It depends how you see it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say ICJ.
Okay, so you put an organization there.
Yeah, I'm putting an organization, the ICJ. Reason being because, well, ICJ/South Africa have taken it to a legalistic maidan.
Would you say that this is South Africa's initiative then? Would you give South Africa?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, in particular the foreign minister of South Africa, she's done really excellently.
Yes. So South Africa taking this initiative, being a country that's seen and witnessed apartheid, now working to combat it. Yeah. Whilst on the other hand, we see Germany that have witnessed, again, atrocities, but still being on the side of the oppressor and still not having learnt their lesson. There's a clear disparity between South Africa and Germany. And the credit where credit is due, South Africa has definitely empowered the people on the pro-Palestinian stance in discussions and in debates, giving them the academic backing. I think Norman Finkelstein was saying just reading their report that they submitted for people that want to read about this issue, that's a really good starting point. It gives you that strong academic backing to kind of get involved in this. So they definitely have ticked that box for us.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think South Africa's, or the foreign minister of South Africa, she's done an excellent job, and she's done something that, you know, Muslim leaders should have done, frankly, right? But who I'd put as number two, and this is going to be controversial, what is George Galloway? And the reason why is because he has a consistent track record, and he's very, very strong on this cause. Now, people will say, well, how can you put him? And you know what he's saying about what he agrees, especially from our circles, will say, you know what his views are on the Syrian thing and the Uyghur issue. On these issues, we're diametrically opposed to his views, right? But then again, if you look at the whole of the list, there's people in there that we diametrically opposed to their views on other areas, religion, society, like Mehdi Hassan and this person, that person. We differ on the same issues, liberalism or this or that, the LGBT. I don't know what Abby Martin's views on LGBT is. I mean, for example, I'm just saying, if that's the thing, we're not going to praise anyone here.
Yeah.
We're talking specifically and strictly about the Palestine conflict.
Yes.
And if we're doing that, then George Galloway has to be put there, up there, because he's been consistent and his voice has been extremely strong. And once again, in terms of his ability to articulate an argument, really there's only few people in the last 50 to 100 years in the United Kingdom who can do it as good as George Galloway, bro.
Mm.
And this is, for anyone who knows about public speaking, will be able to recognize that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to put people in their place. He'd done it with the Iraq War. He was the number one figure in the Iraq War in the United Kingdom. And he's been so consistent with the Palestine cause. We've seen what he's been posting on Twitter. We've seen that he's run elections and done this and that and the other.
Yes.
So frankly, he deserves credit, no doubt about it.
Shook up the system such that he had to, as I think it was nighttime when Rishi Sunak came outside to kind of condemn his victory.
Mm. Exactly. So if you're getting the PM, the Prime Minister of a country, to respond to you, that shows that there's impact here, bro.
Yes.
So that's one thing. And not just response, you do an emergency response and this kind of thing. So we have to give credit where credit is due. He's been phenomenal in that regard. And if you look at his debating history, bro, I mean, people don't know this, but he's debated Christopher Hitchens, who was considered to be one of the greatest orators for these guys, the atheists and the secularists and the liberals and whatever, maybe of all time, for them. And he destroyed him. Mm-hmm. And what, have you ever watched a debate between him and Christopher Hitchens on Iraq War? If you watch that debate, you'll see it's one of the most interesting debates I've ever watched.
Oh.
And he gave him the decisive blow. And even avid kind of fans of Christopher Hitchens would say that he lost that debate that day.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy is a force. Even when he was doing the Brexit thing, because he was on pro-Brexit, when Nigel Farage, who we refuted last week, was introducing him, he had to introduce him as one of the greatest orators in Britain or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, it's well known. If you just watch him in certain discussions, he'll throw Shakespeare in the middle of all the perfumes of Arabia wouldn't be able to do. You know, that's a Shakespearean quote.
Wow.
So he's got the rhetoric, he's got rhetoric to a very high level. He's got the argumentative power, and he's got the political savviness. Well, someone of his level has to be put up there for me as number two. Who would you put as number one now? Let's.
As number one, I think for me, it was a toss-up between these guys and the ICJ. But for me, I think definitely they have been the eyes and ears of the Ummah, of the pro-Palestinian cause on the ground. Without these guys, we would not see what's going on. Indeed, social media does have, you know, and has played its part wonderfully and immaculately. However, when it comes to authentic reporting where it actually matters and, you know, doing it within the system, it's been Al Jazeera.
Hmm.
And again, like you said, a lot can be said about Al Jazeera, but the thing is, they have definitely been the eyes and ears, and not only been the eyes and ears, but they have significantly risked their position on a worldwide stage, and they have a lot of people to please, but showing us what's going on, not compromising that regard, and keeping their footing on an international level, it's a very difficult balance.
Yeah.
And not everybody can do it. And I think on top of that, they were even allowed in Israel as well. Israel, they had this, you know, understanding with Israel, and speaking to an Israeli Jewish lady at Speaker's Corner, she was saying that Al Jazeera was our only source of seeing the Palestinian side, because the way they are presented what's going on, it's very one-sided, it's very propagandized. So Al Jazeera was definitely something unique, a light in a dark room. But now Al Jazeera has been retracted, and Al Jazeera is no longer running from there and is not being shown over there as well, which is unsurprising. But the role that they've played is absolutely phenomenal.
And in that, there's in the Arabic Al Jazeera, the Arabic Al Jazeera has been much better than the English one, by the way. I mean, if you think the English one is good, the Arabic one is like doubly as good, right? And they had this one guy, he's a muhallal, his name is Faiz Al-Duwayri. Now, this guy is phenomenal, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, he is, like, in terms of knowing, because he's a military strategist, he comes from, like, Jordanian background and stuff, and he was a military strategist, he went to different schools and stuff like that. So much so that, you know, on Hamas, there's a clip went viral. Hamas used the rocket launchers to destroy one of the, you know, the tanks or something like that. And then after it blew up, the guy said, Hadliya Duwayri, analyze this Duwayri.
He said that.
He said that as he was blowing up, and it went viral in the Arab world.
Wow.
This guy, he knows all the weapons, and most of what he says strategically pans out. Everyone is watching him.
Oh damn!
It's like, do you know when you watch Match of the Day live?
No.
Well, Match of the Day live, it's like football and stuff, or you've watched a football match, international football, and then afterwards you have like Gary Lineker or something like that.
Yeah. Big up Gary Lineker.
He's good as well, right? He's been fantastic as well.
Palestinian thing, yeah.
Yeah, so you have, and then he's telling you this is what happened. This is like Faiz Al-Duwayri when it comes to on the ground. He's been so good, bro. I used to be addicted to watching his videos. Every morning I watched the video, watch it again.
That's not good, bro. You shouldn't be addicted, bro. Like, that's not
love up his videos. He's excellent. I wouldn't put him as number one because we're talking mostly about the English sphere, by the way.
Yeah.
In the Arabic sphere, he's number one, no doubt.
Really?
Oh, there's no question. In terms of, like, for me, the one who's had impact and everyone goes to, and the, you know, is Duwayri.
Mm.
But in the English sphere, I'd put Norman Finkelstein. That's number one.
Really?
Yeah, because the thing is, there's not many people, actually there's no one on in the world who has been able to contribute to academia as he has. He's the only one who's written a book on Gaza, and he's the only, I think there's no more voluminous output than his. If you look at the bibliographies of his book, it's clearly the most, he's the clearly head and shoulders above every other human being on the face of the planet, most researched person on this issue, you know. There was a time, I don't know if I told you this, like when I done a master's degree in the beginning when I finished, the first master's degree I've ever done was in history, right? It was the first one I've done. And then I actually skipped to a PhD, okay? At this time I was living a rough life, I didn't have that much money. Yeah, you know my story. And I started a PhD. And I started a PhD in one of the universities in London. And it was on the Palestine conflict.
Really?
Yeah, I started a PhD on the Palestine conflict. And I even wrote, you know, thousands of words and stuff. Now, two things. At that time, I didn't have money to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
So, they wanted like a yearly thing. And secondly, I had to start working and stuff to make money. So, I completely abandoned the PhD. This was a long time ago.
And started doing other masters. Christine came and helped you with it.
No, the reason why I mentioned this is I now do my PhD now. I'm not doing it in the Palestine conflict. I'm doing a completely different field, philosophy of religion, whatever. Part of the reason which made me not want to continue doing a PhD is when I was doing the literature review and I read his works, I thought, you know, there's a phrase in Arabic, La hijrata ba'd al-fath.
No.
Which there's no hijrah after the fath. When people said, do another sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari.
Yeah.
After Fath al-Bari, which is Ibn Hajar Asqalani's one, people say, well, there's no need, you got that one.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, his works made me feel like it's been done.
Made you feel pathetic.
No, it's like whatever I want to contribute here, and I had a particular thesis, a very specific thing, he's talked about it in a better way. So I'm going to put my efforts elsewhere. But the point is that I've read all of his books. I'm not sure all of them, let's just say for the vast majority, most of them, yes, of course.
I find it very difficult to read.
No, I've read it. I've read them. And that, in addition to the fact that he's now become a cultural icon and a representative of this thing. We saw his recent debate with Lex Friedman against this guy, Destiny, who completely humiliated him. Excellent. It was like watching like a professional boxer fight a layman from the streets. A
homeless guy, yeah.
Yeah, you know. It was, so he debates. He's debated Benny Morris, who's seen as like probably the best historian from the other side. By the way, in his books, he refutes Benny Morris. He's debated, he's written books, he's appeared on different shows, he's done everything possible. And so because people get their arguments from him, the influence must therefore be attributed to him.
Yes.
That's why I put him as number one, because of the consistency of the record. He's been obsessed with this thing for 30 years. I think it would be wrong not to put him there. So I put him as number one. And that's our lists, guys.
Yeah, I think we definitely got carried away with that video.
Well, I think it's only right, don't you think? Because we always refute people and attack them. I think it's right sometimes to praise them as well. Because look, now the conflict has reached a stage where, let's be honest, people are getting tired of it. And the protagonists of this conflict from our side, from the cultural and, you know, influential side, they are the ones who also need to continue working. So I want to give great thanks to you guys. We're all eternally grateful for your contributions to the Palestine cause. And continue doing the great work, because in the future, wallahi, in the future, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, this will be history. People will be writing about this in schools. Yeah. People will be talking about this, reading about this in historical books. So your work as the influencers, your work as cultural contributors, as knowledge producers, is essential.
Mm-hmm.
Any last words, bro?
Assalamu alaikum.
Hey you, are you wasting your time on social media again? Your brothers and sisters in Islam Net from Norway are establishing a masjid, a dawah center. Establishing a masjid to convey the message of Islam is one of the best deeds a Muslim can do. There's a huge need for it in Norway. You know this and I know this. So that makes the reward even greater. So give generously and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you even more.